Hello and welcome along to this week's episode of the Total Fertility Podcast, where we explore the minds of experts from all different walks of life. Our aim is to make your fertility journey just that little bit easier. I'm Ed Coates, a consultant gynecologist, a fertility specialist, and the co-founder of the website totalfertility.co.uk, where we connect you to all kinds of different resources that will hopefully inform you, empower you, and help you on your way to finding your fertility. Now, today's episode is the final part of our series on sports and exercise and the impact that this can have on fertility. We've been talking recently about female athletes and sports and exercise, and today we're going to move back towards male fertility again. I think a lot of men who maybe do a lot in the gym or perhaps are interested in sports and are out regularly competing or keeping themselves fit are not always sure about the impact that that might be having on their fertility. And we're very lucky today because we've got a really great episode for you lined up looking at the impact that sports and exercise might have on fertility. But we're going to be speaking as well to someone who's passionate about the stigma that can be attached to male health sometimes. He is also the co-founder of Exceed Health, which is a company, a very innovative software company set up in the male reproductive health space, ranked one of the top 20 companies on Global Disrupt, and it's an incredibly clever company. And we were hearing from one of our last guests about how this is probably the future for many men, allowing them to monitor their fertility from home without even having to step into clinics in the first instance. So I'm really grateful that Morton's given up some time to speak to us. Are you there, Morton? Welcome.
Thank you, Ed. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hey, great to have you with us, and thanks for spending some time talking about this really important subject. Can I just kick off, because a lot of men who are probably keen on exercising and playing sports, might be wondering, what is the impact of sport for men, and why should they bother to have a heightened awareness around their fertility?
Yeah, sure. And yes, I was actually a competitive athlete myself in my youth, and now, very passionate about male health stigma around it, and just educating everybody on this topic. So I think first of all, it's important to establish all the positive benefits that exercise and playing sports have versus having a sedentary lifestyle, right? So training generally improves health via several modes. You have to increase you increase the health of our cardiovascular system, reduces the stress of cardiovascular disease, or reduces the risk of cardiovascular disease. It strengthens our muscles, bones and joints. It leads to improved glucose control, improves cholesterol levels, higher amounts of good HDL cholesterol and lower amount of the bad LDL cholesterol. It can help us control the weight. And some of the latest findings in the role of exercise is actually how our skeletal muscles release a signaling molecules called myokines that improve the health of other tissues. So for now, I know the research has been on how exercise improves the outcomes of diabetic patients, mm-hmm. and therefore on the pancreas, the body fat tissues in the body, and the liver. So so it's important to say that those are some of the very positive impacts. And then I think when it comes to fertility, there aren't too many great studies on the impact of exercise here, with control groups and randomized trials and so forth. But one of the studies that we've certainly seen is where you have evidence of lifestyle affecting sperm quality. It's Malecki et al. From 2018. And that basically showed that a 24-week program of resistance training three times a week increased sperm concentration by around 25% and the motility, so how fast are the sperm cells moving, by 40%. And actually, there's quite a notable subsequent increase in the number of pregnancies with the partners in this group. So I think in terms of what factors impact it, we know that something like excess heat can actually have a detrimental impact on sperm quality. So in 2015, a study was conducted on a group of men where they actually applied a temperature device on the testicles of men.
God, sounds awful.
yeah, exactly. Don't sign me up for that one, please. And they did this for 40 minutes a day, I think a couple of days a week for a three-month period. And actually what it showed was that this increased temperature reduced the sperm concentration and the sperm motility to about half of the initial values. And the reason why I'm saying this is because they've actually replicated this in a different type of study with very tight underwear. So the idea is that wearing these tight underwear compression shorts that we sometimes use in certain types of sports will increase the amount of heat and friction produced in the scrotal area, and that leads to basically this excess heat. Then I think, you know, if you are a competitive athlete, there could be a temptation to do anabolic steroids to improve performance and recovery, for example. And the issue here is that the exogenous testosterone makes a negative feedback loop inside the body, which ultimately leads to lowering of the sperm production. And we know from research that it can take up to 10 weeks to actually normalize after you get off these types of cycles, if you will. But actually what we saw was about 10% of men, from what I could read, don't actually restore the normal spermatogenesis or sperm production after, for example, testosterone replacement treatment, TRT. So the negative effects here vary, but this is certainly something that we would...
I mean, I've seen patients actually over the years. It's really sad because these are all the sort of things that young men do to themselves when they're building muscle, trying to look good in the gym, getting strong. And actually, not many know that actually the impact can be really bad for the testes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So we, you know, with our company, we actually get contacted by a fair amount of people who have earlier been on these steroid cycles and are now, yeah, quite desperate on seeing how we can help them in various ways.
Can I ask you, do you think men are good at planning ahead and considering their fertility? Not all men maybe think of it front of house in they're not always thinking about fertility as their priority. Most men stereotypically probably are not, but that's not every case. Do you think that's the case? Certainly, your experience of this with your background and, you know, years of this company that's been developing and trying to reduce the stigma attached to male fertility and male health?
Oh, absolutely. I think, first of all, there's this very large and completely unnecessary stigma attached to male infertility. I think the U.S. Department of Labor came out with a very interesting statistics a few years back saying that around 80% of all healthcare decisions in a household are made by women. And I think when it comes to fertility, I believe this could be even higher. So a lot of women are the ones, you know, proactively sort of guiding this baby-making journey. And you know, men, a little bit stereotypically, are happy to stay ignorant until the very last minute. And I think it's because it's actually quite a deep question for men, where, you know, how is my fertility? It's an important question. It goes into the very heart of what it is to be a man, quote unquote, right? We're supposed to be virile, we're supposed to be potent and have the ability to father children. And if you then start thinking about, you know, am I actually fertile, you're potentially facing a very important question there, which I think then many men, instead of being proactive about it, will probably just say, okay, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But then I think the issue is, if there might be some underlying medical condition, you know, the earlier you discover something, the earlier you can treat it. And then there's much higher likelihood of getting a positive treatment outcomes from that. And it's also important to say that, you know, male fertility does decline with age, not as steeply as women, but there is a decline, and there is a decline in the production of testosterone with age. There's an increased risk of DNA mutations as men go beyond 35 years of age. You know, so I think men could be better at planning ahead, to be honest. And I think women would probably welcome this as well.
I mean, this is why we wanted to speak to you. It's all helping with the conversation and getting people thinking about these difficult areas that aren't maybe the most natural things for men to talk about and discuss. I mean, obviously, we're interested in sports and exercise. You're a former athlete. I'm definitely a former athlete and no longer as fit as I used to be. What sort of sports have you, you know, I mean, you must have done a lot of work in this area as a company to look at areas where you may be able to help people. What sort of sports should men be thinking about their fertility more carefully?
So So again, there's still research to be done in this area, I believe. But what we have seen come up in numerous studies is cycling, where we've seen, for example, one study showed that a 16-week course of low intense cycling caused a decrease in the semen volume, the sperm motility, and sperm concentration. And again, we believe, or the researchers believe, it has to do with this excess heat that's caused by being, the scrotum being compressed against the saddle. So that's something that if you are on a baby making journey, maybe don't, reconsider going cycling for several hours a day. So that would be one of the ones. And then in more broadly speaking, I mean, pretty much any exercise is better than a sedentary lifestyle. We know that has a big detrimental impact on sperm parameters and fertility. But then, so then I think the main message is, do your exercise, have a balanced lifestyle, and be happy with it. What we do see is when you get into the extreme sports, there are some minor studies that have shown that overtraining can actually also have a detrimental impact. But it's an interesting one because it's actually other biomarkers that we see decrease first. So we see if you do like very hard training regimen for a period of, for example, 3 months, we saw in one cohort study testosterone levels decrease by 40%, and then cortisol, which is a stress hormone, increased by 50%. And this ratio of the cortisol and testosterone is often a biomarker for physiological stress of athletes. And actually, yeah, that's the sperm count in this cohort of men actually also decreased by 40%. So, those sort of went hand in hand. But I think you'd have to get quite extreme in your regimen. And then I think it gets into not being getting the right nutrition, so not being undernourished. Then you can probably compensate a lot with that.
I mean, as you say, it's a really, in many ways, it's a frustrating, but it's an exciting area because there's so much potential for finding out more in this area, particularly with, well, the sort of technology which Exceed have been developing over many years. But can you, I mean, many men listening to this, as you've said, fertility doesn't always mean that playing sports and that you have instant problems. In fact, there are many good points to it. But if men would like to check their fertility, the options currently are to go and see a GP or traditionally go into a fertility clinic. But can you explain a little bit about Exceed? Because it was one of the reasons I wanted to speak to you and find out a bit more about the background behind the company and how your testing works and how it can help men to increase all of the awareness and the information we've been discussing.
Absolutely. Yeah. So as a company, we certainly noticed right from the beginning that there's a hurdle, at least a mental hurdle, but also it takes time to get into the clinic. And so what we have developed is basically, I spent the last 4 year developing, is a clinic grade at home sperm testing kit. So basically we use the same algorithms and tracking technologies that you'd find in advanced andrology labs and fertility clinics, and you can do it all from the comfort and privacy of your home. So basically, we have this small package with a physical device which acts like a microscope, and then you have to provide a sample at home, and then you basically insert that sample into the device. You place the smartphone on top, and then we take a high-resolution video, which is then analyzed by these algorithms, and we actually also have a medical team that then does a manual assessment as well. So equivalent of an embryologist sitting in a lab, in a lab having a, doing a visual inspection. So it's a highly accurate result. It's certified as a medical device with more than 95% accuracy versus these large laboratory-based systems. But then I think one of the main points is even the WHO guidelines recommend that you should test minimum 2 times, right? Because sperm quality can actually fluctuate on a daily and weekly, monthly basis, because it's quite dependent on a lot of factors. So you should take ideally 2 tests, maybe 1 week apart, to have a reliable baseline figure. And then you get these parameters, which is the volume, and then you have the concentration, so how many cells are there per milliliter. And then we have what's called the progressive motility, so how many cells are actually alive and swimming at a certain speed where there's a high likelihood of reaching an egg. So those three parameters together is what's called the total motile sperm count, which is in a lot of literature indicated as the best initial male fertility predictor, if you will. So, we then provide the option to test over time. So if you actually do lifestyle intervention or you change your lifestyle, you start playing sports, you could conceivably test, you know, a couple of times to begin with, and then test again after a month and a half and a month after that, and then realistically track improvements.
It's really interesting and so handy, because actually, as you say, one of the barriers is from a male perspective is the inconvenience, the hassle, the fact that it's not at the front of the mind always. And actually, this is something that's simple that you can just do. And as we all know, prevention is the best sort of cure, really, isn't it? And avoiding having to go down the route of treatment, so having a heightened awareness. I mean, this technology it's ingenious, really. Can you tell us a little bit more about the journey of how it all came about?
Absolutely, yeah. So it's the idea of my co-founder and chief science officer, who is a PhD researcher specializing in epigenetics and reproduction. So he himself was sitting at the University of Copenhagen lab doing manual assessments of semen quality. And after he had done, and that means he's a PhD educated individual who is looking into a microscope and sitting there trying to estimate the quantities and how many are swimming. And, you know, it's very time consuming. And there's also some, you know, there's some estimations involved. And he just thought, you know, there's been some great advances in hemocytometers, so blood tracking algorithms. And he thought, why can't we do something similar in the fertility space? And also, if we can then automate this process, why not make use of this amazing computing and optics power we all have in our pockets? And that's basically how it all started, because he also is associated with a fertility clinic and knew firsthand how many men, you know, uncomfortable about this and missed appointments or for whatever reason don't actually turn up or postpone it for like a few years. And just that's how it all started. Let's try to make it easier and convenient and private.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And I mean, obviously you talked a little bit there about that. I mean, the technology is incredible nowadays, how things have, you know, moved to the level that you can do this at home just with a mobile phone. Incredible. But I'm sure you get asked this a lot. How does it compare, the results that you're giving patients on these devices, to, you know, a multi-million pound laboratory? Because surely a multi-million pound laboratory has got to be better, huh?
Yeah, so I mean, of course, in a lab, you can go into other types of parameters. So you can start looking at DNA fragmentation. So what is the integrity of the DNA inside of a cell and these types of things. But for this initial fertility assessment, where pretty much all clinics and professionals that we speak to, the parameters that they care about are, you know, the volume, concentration, and motility. Yeah. Some also would like to see some morphology, which we're actually working on. Yeah. But certainly those three first ones. And what we then did was we actually went into a certified, highly advanced lab, and then we took a long range of samples at different concentrations. And then we measured them in the lab-based piece of equipment that costs hundreds of thousands, and then ran the same samples through the Exceed, and then had a trained embryologist then doing a manual validation on them. And that basically made a straight line, a curve in a grid, which showed that our tracking potential was more than 95% accurate versus these very expensive pieces of equipment. So that's the technology in itself, the algorithm in itself. And then, like I said, what we have is a check on top of this, where actually we have a trained professional also doing a manual verification of every sample just to do a check. Mm-hmm. Is the algorithmic output correct versus, you know, healthcare professionals estimate. That makes it a highly accurate system overall.
Yeah, so that's great. So you've actually got almost a sort of double checking system to make sure there's no errors there.
Exactly.
Interesting. So men that do these tests, these kits are easy to access, get hold of. In terms of, I mean, this podcast is all about education, really, trying to help people access things that are accurate and based on fact. And so men that come through and use the XSEED device, do they get any kind of education, information or advice? So if I do a sperm count today, for example, and it all goes into the app, does it then tell me what I might need to do to improve my health? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. This is so important to us. I mean, 50% of our value proposition is the point of care diagnostics, highly accurate. But then the other 50 that we are very passionate about is actually saying, okay, now what? Right? These steps are to improve if you may be one of the men in the suboptimal range. So actually in the app, right after you have taken a test, you immediately get told whether you're in the low, moderate, or optimal spectrum. And then if you are in the low or moderate, we have a program that presents itself where you can sign up to a lifestyle intervention, which is then you fill in a short lifestyle questionnaire, and then our system will present an individual with the piece of advice most likely to have an impact on that individual. So instead of telling somebody, you know, oh, stop smoking, stop drinking, start exercising, do all these things at once, then we will weigh the top three factors most likely to have an impact and say these are the ones you should concentrate on. Oh, and then there's a 4-week, 8-week, and 12-week program. And then going beyond that, we know that, you know, you may be more comfortable actually speaking to someone as well. We also have a direct access to a medical team, both via an anonymized private chat, but also you can actually take a phone call with someone if that's what you want. Because we feel very strongly that it's, you know, it's important to help guide on those next steps. And we also do refer men directly to the clinic when we can see this likely to be an underlying medical issue. That's the very first thing we say. We do a flag. We flag this in the system, and then we say, can we please recommend one of our partner clinics for a more thorough checkup? Because that's the right thing to do.
That's great to hear, because I mean, obviously nothing's exclusive on its own, and it's so good to have that integration. And as you say, there are more detailed things in clinics like DNA sperm fragmentation testing and other more detailed testing that does get done by andrologists, but to have this as a first point of care is a great I think device for many people to consider. I mean, many men listening to this might actually be keen sportsmen doing a lot of exercise. Do you kind of cover other sort of things that men should be thinking about with their health? We've just had Male Cancer Awareness Week, which we were speaking, I think we were speaking to you guys about, in fact, we were chatting with you guys on one of your lives. it's a really important thing just in general that men are aware of. Do you guys sort of have, I mean, is there more coming with XSEED? What's the kind of future for XSEED here? Is there anything that is in the pipeline, or are you not allowed to talk about that sort of stuff?
No, we have a very exciting pipeline. So we will, for example, be launching a standalone software program for lifestyle intervention. So even for somebody who may not want to do the testing, but they, you know, would like to improve their fertility, then there will be this like software subscription service we have where you can then use the XSEED lifestyle program over time. Mm-hmm. We're very excited about that one. Because actually, when you look at the scientific literature, semen quality is a surprisingly good predictor of subsequent morbidity and hospitalizations and other types of things, because it's a systemic process. So it's, so just alongside measuring testosterone levels and other things that are more normalized now with blood tests, we think semen quality is a good biomarker. And I think there's a good... this need for like a, you know, Noom for weight loss, for example, they've done a great job. I think there's a need for something similar in the fertility space.
Yeah. Well, listen, thank you for talking to us. It's been really wonderful to get your take on it. And it's as a doctor seeing patients usually at the end stage, often when patients are way down the line, it's actually really nice to see these really early healthcare tech advances that can actually help patients and perhaps prevent the need for fertility treatments further down the line. Have you got any final tips that you'd like to kind of sort of give to any men or partners of men who might be listening to this, who are keen on their sports and exercise?
Yeah, so something that we haven't really touched upon today is nutrition. So one of the very first things that we recommend people is actually to get a balanced nutritional intake. So something called the Mediterranean dietary pattern, for example, is recognized as being very good for general health, performance, but also your fertility. So, you know, eating lots of fruits and vegetables, replacing refined grains with whole grains, eating fish and seafood, limiting consumption of red meats, and replacing all the unhealthy snacks with healthier alternatives. Also, nuts should be a good part of that diet, getting some of those healthy fats in there. A balanced exercise regimen, of course, is recommended. It could be a combination of cardio, resistance training. And yeah, of course, you want to be reducing exposure to toxins. So this goes for alcohol, for example, where you should try to aim for below 14 units weekly for sure. Definitely smoking is very detrimental to your overall health and your fertility. Marijuana goes into that category, and even vaping is actually not necessarily as safe as you may assume. Of course, anabolic steroids we touched upon, definitely not very good for long-term performance. It's a short-term boost in your performance probably. But then also something like limiting exposure to toxins in food, so plasticizers, these PCBs and PBAs you have them present in the plastics wrapping your food, for example. Mm-hmm. A balanced supplementation is good. So there's great evidence that vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, and omega-3s can enhance both your overall your health, but certainly male fertility. So yeah, go for a well-balanced multivitamin omega-3. And then, yeah, I mean, stress is also something that can actually affect your well-being, but certainly your fertility. So, yeah, relaxation, exercising to release the happy hormones, you know, endorphins, serotonin, is certainly something to consider. And yeah, I think probably I'll stop here.
Well, listen, I could listen to you all day. So much information there. And there's a lot of information that Exceed are obviously putting out in the future, as you said, is that sort of that lifestyle stuff, which is going to be really important to people. We're obviously going to link to you guys in the show notes and all the sort of places that people might like to connect to your company if they have concerns about male fertility, and particularly these devices, which people can do their sperm testing from home. So it's been really great chatting to you, Morten. I appreciate you joining us and explaining a bit about the Exceed brand and what you guys are all about and what the future is. Thanks for helping us out today and chatting to us on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
It's amazing to think that we have reached this point now where technology has advanced so far that you can actually be doing this type of testing at home. Some really great points there as well from Morten around the impact of sports and exercise, but also at the end there, nutrition as well. So important to making sure the ingredients are right in our bodies to make the best sperm that we can. We're moving ahead now, away from the theme of sports, exercise, optimizing health. I'm going to be looking more over the coming weeks at conditions, particularly a little bit more about IVF, the cost, the burden of IVF, and the extra things that you might have to think about when you're going through treatment cycles, and also the dreaded subject of IVF medication. And we'll be talking very soon to one of our guests about everything you need to know in that domain. So I hope you've enjoyed the series we've been focusing around male and female fertility and sports and exercise. It's been an interesting 3 or 4 episodes for me. I've learned an awful lot, and I hope that you have also got some takeaways from it which will help with improving your own fertility. It's been great chatting with you again, and I hope you've enjoyed the episode. Please do share, subscribe, and rate us and rank us on the usual channels. It'd be really helpful with people finding us through the podcast domain. Thanks again, and look after yourselves. Take care.